We have a little rain heading our way in the next few days, so enjoy the Sabbath day, get outside, and enjoy God's creation. It's well worth the time. I just want to add my words to what's already been said about Gilbert Mercado. Sorry about that. I work in the roofing industry, and it's hard to just get insurance for people who roof, because it's such a dangerous occupation. In your prayers, as you pray for continued recovery for Gilbert, please thank God that Gilbert was spared. I have heard many, many stories of individuals who are not as fortunate, who are in far worse condition. So please thank God for Gilbert. Let's bow our heads for just a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, for the gift of your Son, for the sunshine, for all that you do for us, so many things that we seem to be so completely unaware of, those blessings we receive from your hand that we don't recognize. Lord, we're so thankful. Be with us this morning as we open your word. Help us to gain a blessing, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. I chose as the title of this morning's message the word enduring. I've always been fascinated by stories of great endurance. And there are a lot of stories of endurance in the Bible. And we're going to go into some of those. Here recently, there have been two races that have caught my attention. I'm just going to share those with you, things that I thought were just really fascinating. The first is a race that takes place every year in Hawaii in October. It's called the Ironman Triathlon. Have you heard of it? Okay, so a lot of you have heard of it. The race consists of a 2.4-mile swim in the open ocean, followed by a brief 112-mile bicycle race. And finally, to top things off, a 26.2-mile full marathon. Many of the athletes are professionals who are well paid for their efforts and their training, individuals who have spent years rising to the top of their competitive fields. A lot of the other individuals are folks who have qualified through other events, and by competing in other events, they have been able to rise to a point where they're able to participate in this very prestigious event. If you're able to endure, making it through the ocean swim, the bike ride, and the marathon through the lava fields, upon completing, you will have attained the status Iron Man. For your efforts, you will receive a medal, a t-shirt, and a hat. Congratulations. And I'm sure a great deal of personal satisfaction. Okay? It's no small feat, but not much of a prize. The second race takes place in East Tennessee. It's a much lesser known race through Frozen Head State Park and parts of Brushy Mountain State Prison, which is now closed, called the Barkley Marathon. Have you heard of this race? Excellent. Brushy Mountain, or the race, the Barkley Marathon, became famous shortly after, it came into place shortly after James Earl Ray, that name may ring a bell, the gentleman who killed Martin Luther King Jr., attempted to escape from Brushy Mountain. Now, he did actually get out of the building itself, but he only made it 8 miles from the prison, because the foliage is so dense, so thick, that it made it impossible for him to make it any further. Uninspired by this low mileage of this criminal, one of the local residents named Gary Cantrell stated that he believed he could have made it 100 miles in the same amount of time. And thus was born the Barkley Marathon. Now, The Barclay Marathon isn't something you qualify for. It's something that you are invited to. And the list of those invited have been very brief. You know, there's a lot of events and races where everyone gets a participation trophy, a medallion, some kind of T-shirt, hat, things of the like. The Barclay has no prize for winners. The race is so grueling that there have only been 15 finishers in the entire 35 years the event has been held. A true endurance event. Now, the concept of endurance is not new to us as Christians. As youngsters, if you grew up in a Christian home, you heard many stories. Stories about John Wycliffe, Huss and Jerome, Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, all reformers who endured much for the sake of truth. As a result of those stories growing up, I find myself admiring individuals who are willing and able to forego the niceties of life, some of the finer things, who can endure the challenges and privations necessary in order to overcome. Enduring is important, make no mistake, but overcoming has to be the goal. Because what good is enduring if you're unable to overcome? Why endure suffering just for the sake of suffering? There's nothing noble in suffering for its own sake. But enduring for the sake of overcoming is noble. It's good. We might even say it's righteous. We, you and I, have been participating in the greatest endurance event since the dawn of time. An event that has been going on now for well over 6,000 years. We entered this event at birth, and we will spend our last breaths as we attempt to cross the finish. Like the Barclay, I'm afraid there will be no participation trophies, no T-shirts, no medals. But if we are able to endure, we will receive a robe and a crown. Yes, unlike the Barclay or the Ironman, the prize in the finish of our race is out of this world. The good news is that although there are going to be many distractions and many trials, when even the closest to us can interrupt our progress if they choose to and if we choose to let them, we can each win. There's much training to be done. There are hills to climb, obstacles to overcome. How are you doing? How are you doing in this great controversy? You know, as we look around the world today, we see many around us who, rather than staying disciplined and enduring temptation, are succumbing to temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, we have a perfect example of Christ enduring temptation. He has left a great example for us. We talked about this a little in Sabbath school this morning. Jesus is led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Christ endured the privation and temptation to overcome Satan's attempts to dethrone him. Quoting Scripture, Christ repulsed Satan's attempts not once, not twice, but three times. From the Desire of Ages, page 117, from the time of Adam to that of Christ, self-indulgence had increased the power of the appetites and passions until they had almost unlimited control. And I wonder what Ellen White would say about today. Men had become debased and diseased, and of themselves it was impossible for them to overcome. In man's behalf, Christ conquered by enduring the severest test. For our sakes, he exercised a self-control stronger than hunger or death. And in this first victory were involved other issues that enter into all our conflicts with the power of darkness. Christ gave us a powerful example. He responds to temptation by quoting Scripture. Although tired and hungry, Scripture is so ingrained in the mind of Christ that he immediately draws his sword and goes to battle. From Desire of Ages, page 120, it was in the time of greatest weakness that Christ was assailed by the fiercest temptations. Thus Satan thought to prevail. By this policy, he had gained the victory over men. When strength failed and the willpower weakened, and faith ceased to repose in God, then those who had stood long and valiantly for the right were overcome. Moses was wearied with the 40 years wandering in Israel, when for the moment his faith let go its hold upon infinite power. He failed just upon the borders of the promised land. So with Elijah, who had stood undaunted before King Ahab, had faced the whole nation of Israel with the 450 prophets of Baal. After that terrible day upon Mount Carmel, when the false prophets had been slain and the people had declared their allegiance to God, Elijah fled for his life before the threats of an idolatrous Jezebel. Thus Satan has taken advantage of the weakness of humanity, and he will still work in the same way. Here Ellen White hits upon a key component in our ability to endure. Probably our greatest obstacle to overcoming sin and self is the pace that we place ourselves on. The pace we put ourselves on as we try to fill our lives with the things that we believe will improve our social position, our self-esteem, or our wallets. Quite frankly, after a full day of work, time with family, friends, and social events designed to enrich our lives, most of us are just tired. We want some rest. I don't think it's a small coincidence that the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 are found sleeping. They, like we, know the bridegroom is coming. We know the end is near, but we're worn out. And so rather than doing our Bible study and prayer, we set those aside for the sweet release of sleep. It's not that we're trying to do something wrong. It's just that, well, we're not making time for what's right. And yet, if we are able to endure, if we are willing to endure, if we can overcome, God will help us. But we must be prepared. From The Great Controversy, page 567, heaven is worth everything to us. We must not run any risk in this matter. We must take no venture here. We must know that our steps are ordained by the Lord. May God help us in the great work of overcoming. He has crowns for those that overcome. He has white robes for the righteous. He has an eternal world of glory for those who seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Everyone who enters the city of God will enter as a conqueror. Christ is willing and able to help us to endure and overcome. But we must make a conscious and deliberate effort. How do we do this? Paul has some advice for us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, this endurance race we're on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. No runner enters a race carrying extra weight. Careful attention is given to finding the lightest, most durable equipment and clothing money can buy. I had done a little research. A lot of the bicycles that are used in some of these endurance events goes for well over $10,000. These people make an investment in the race. Have we made an investment in this race? Friction is the enemy. So in our race, we need to remove anything that causes friction, anything that hinders our progress, anything that stands between us and the Savior. To overcome, we must remember that we are Christ's. We are not our own. We are not prisoners or victims of our circumstances. We are not prisoners or victims of our past decisions or our history. Nor are we victims of the actions and attitudes of other people. We cannot accept responsibility for the behavior, the fears, and poor decisions of those around us. Moving forward, we are accountable only to God for what we do and why we do it. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul lists a litany of sins, but after that he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have to keep going back to those things that we've learned from the Word of God. Satan is persistent. He will continue to bring back to your memory your failings and shortcomings, your sins, your bad habits, your bad decisions. And when he does, it's possible you could face dark times. But God will not allow you to be tempted above his ability to save you. Don't doubt in the dark what you have seen in the light. Memorize and recite those texts and promises in Scripture that give you strength. You need to be able to recall Scripture, particularly when we struggle. One of my favorite texts is this morning's Scripture reading, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I want the crown. But make no mistake, the crown is far less important than meeting the one who presents the crown. We must keep doing what God has called us to do. Not everyone's going to be a Doug Batchelor or a Mark Finley. I can attest to that personally. We can't all be evangelists or preachers or teachers, but make no mistake, we are all called to serve. The life of the Christian is a life of service. We are all called to share Christ with others. We are called to bring this message to our neighbors and our friends and our community. Persevere. As George Bush used to say, stay the course. Be thankful for this calling, regardless of opposition and hardship. We have each been called. Trust God to deal with those who would stand between him and us. Don't take matters into your own hands or become bitter and argumentative. If you're not happy with a brother or sister, don't spread your discontent to others. Don't try to seize the high ground so you can look down upon those whom you have vanquished. That's not a Christ-like spirit. Follow the counsel given in Matthew 18 and let God handle it. I believe this is one of the more difficult areas to overcome because most of the time we're dealing with feelings, hurt feelings. And right now there are more than enough hurt feelings to go around. I can't even turn on the TV anymore. We must be focused on heavenly things and the recognition that those who exhibit behavior or positions that we don't agree with, namely those opinions that are contrary to Scripture, are children of God and deserving of our prayers. 2 Timothy 2:23 to 26 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We need to remember those times in the past when the Lord has delivered us. Recount those times when he has stood by your side, when he has led you, when he has carried you. This past week, we visited with friends and discussed, and the discussion turned to God's intervention in our lives. many stories were told of God's direct intervention, of times when God intervened directly and saved a life. It was a great visit. Recognize Christ's lordship in your life. Recognize his desire to see you overcome. Be quick to praise him and testify of his goodness to others. God will give you victory. 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. We need to rely on the resources that God has provided us with. First of all, the Word of God. If you're not reading it, shame on you. You can argue with me afterwards, but shame on you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, your brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great resource. The spirit of prophecy, prayer. We must make use of these resources. If you're trying to do it on your own, you're going to fail. Straight up, you're going to fail. We must study the life of Christ and emulate him in our lives. We need to remember his life and his sufferings and his sacrifice for us. Ellen White says we should spend an hour a day looking at the life of Christ. His triumph over Satan, sin, and death. His power, his promises, and his presence. Matthew 28:18-20 says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. When God says all, he means all. Not some, not part, all. We need to remember what God is doing, what Christ is doing for us right now in heaven. John 14:2-3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God desperately wants us to be with him. In Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ is interceding on your behalf right now. That's amazing. If you don't grasp that, it's a shame. Right now, Christ is concerned about me. Right now, Christ is concerned about you individually. Don't look across the aisle. God's concerned about you. Christ is working right now on your behalf. And we must surrender. This sounds kind of counterintuitive to overcoming, but surrender is key. Without surrender, there is no victory. Without surrender, there would be those who might attempt to assert that they did it themselves, which is impossible. We must surrender. Acts of the Apostles, page 51. It is not a conclusive evidence that a man is a Christian because he manifests spiritual ecstasy under extraordinary circumstances. Holiness is not rapture. It is an entire surrender of the will to God. It is living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. It is trusting God in trial, in darkness as well as in light. It is walking by faith and not by sight. It is relying on God with unquestioning confidence and resting in his love. We must endure. We must overcome. We cannot expect God to step in and change us without any effort on our part. He has said he will not do that. God is not going to force his will on us. He won't go where he's not invited, and he won't turn us into something we don't want to be. And this is a man who has a God who has all power, and he's not going to force you. I have to be honest, I've worked for a great many people. I wish some of them were more Christ-like. I've had supervisors who have made me go through all kinds of stuff. I'm probably the only one, right? Okay. I'll give you that one. God stands ready to intercede on our behalf and save us when we call upon him. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. I appreciated the special music this morning. Sounds familiar now, doesn't it? Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The best part of enduring, the best part of overcoming, in the process of overcoming, we become like Christ. Our character will be transformed into his character. Our desires will become his desires. Our motives, his motives. From Acts of the Apostles, page 532, before the believers held out the possibility of being like Christ, obedient to all the principles of the law, the holiness that God's word declares he must have before he can be saved is the result of the working of divine grace as he bows in submission to the discipline and restraining influences of the Spirit of truth. Man's obedience can be made perfect only by the incense of Christ's righteousness, which fills the divine fragrance, which fills with divine fragrance every act of obedience. The part of the Christian is to persevere in overcoming every fault. Constantly he is to pray to the Savior to heal the disorders of his sin-sick soul. He has not the wisdom or the strength to overcome. These belong to the Lord, and he bestows them on those who in humiliation and contrition seek him for help. Ask, and ye shall receive. Christ overcame because he was subservient to the will of the Father, and this is the only way that we can overcome. We must surrender our lives every day. We must endure. Acts of the Apostles, page 313. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The weakest saint, as well as the strongest, may wear the crown of immortal glory. All may win who, through the power of divine grace, bring their lives into conformity to the will of Christ. Every act casts its weight into the scale that determines life's victory or defeat. And the reward given to those who win will be in proportion to the energy and earnestness with which they have striven. As we close this morning, I want to encourage you to endure, to persevere, to overcome. With the assistance of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to take a personal inventory. Don't do this without his help. Reevaluate your relationship with God and rededicate yourself to him. Take the appropriate steps to align yourself with God's will. This is the only way we can endure. It's the only way we can overcome.